and start the special meeting of the internal ops at 4:12. With that being said, I want to apologize to everybody, staff and people that are here for being late. All I have to say is being a board member and working full time is a very, very hard thing to do. So has roll call been taken?
Roll call been taken, let the record show all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comment. Anything that is not on the agenda is something that we can hear public comment on. You get 3 minutes, we are listening, but we are not able to comment. Is there anybody online that has public comment?
No hands raised.
Okay. Anybody in the audience that has public comment? Okay, perfect. So we're gonna close public comment and move on to the consent calendar. Can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I motion to approve the consent calendar.
Okay, I will second that, and consent calendar passes. Are there any updates?
No updates.
Okay, any presentations?
No presentations.
Wonderful. So we are gonna move on to the discussion items. We have quite a few today, which is exciting. We're gonna move on to F1, discussion and possible recommendation to accept the annual AB 2561 report, fiscal 25-26. Assistant General Manager Stephen.
Yes, thank you. So this is your annual AB 2561 public hearing and presentation. So before you is an action to make a recommendation to the full board to accept this presentation. So I'm going to just run through that with all of you. So the first slide is going to give a little bit of the legislative background and what the requirements are. So AB 2561, if you're not familiar, was a new state law that went into effect January 1st of 2025, part of the California Government Code, and added some requirements for public agencies to present some information to the board members once per fiscal year, but importantly, had to happen prior to adopting the final budget for that next fiscal year, which is why we're doing it now in June. So it's going to cover the status of our vacancies at a very high level, recruitment or retention efforts, and then identify any necessary changes to policies, procedures, or activities that are deemed to be an impairment in the hiring process, if any exist. So we'll get into our current. Current staffing and vacancy status. So on the next slide, you'll see currently the town is authorized a total of 23 positions, and that's broken out into 20 full-time employees and 3 part-time employees across our 4 departments, and you'll see the breakdown there, 5 administration, 4 in finance, and then 7 in our landscape park and rec department, and then 7 in our water and wastewater department. Importantly, and as a requirement for this presentation, there are currently no bargaining units in the town, so all of our FTE are considered unrepresented. If we had bargaining units, there's additional disclosures and things, but we don't have to worry about that. Next slide. So this is a breakdown over the preceding fiscal year, so July 1st of 25, through what's forecasted as, you know, the ending of June of this year. So you'll see that asterisk there for June. Obviously, we don't know what will happen for the next month, but as of right now, this is the forecasted information. And this just covers the number of vacancies that were created, how many were filled, and what that remaining vacancy is. So you'll see now in May, we're down to 1 vacancy out of 23 for a total vacancy rate of only 4.3%. So that's, again, just that monthly breakdown for you over the last fiscal year. There's no questions there. We'll move to the next slide, which is that same information.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you have a question.
No, I was just gonna say, is there any questions? But you already said that.
So this is just that breakdown by department. And so again, showing the number of vacancies versus the number of budgeted positions by department. One of the metrics in AB 2561 is anything that exceeds 20%. There's some, again, some additional requirements for the organization. Not only do we not come anywhere near that as the district, but even within our departments, we don't have any department that exceeds 20% vacancy currently. So that's a positive sign. The next slide, you'll see that 1 vacancy, specifically what classification that is, and that's an administrative assistant 2. We anticipate that recruitment to go live on or around July 1st as part of this next fiscal year. That position's been vacant due since November 2025 due to voluntary resignation, and the position's been on hold for a little while, just undergoing some review and analysis of kind of what that role myself in some of the communications and outreach aspects of the work that I'm doing, and then also your traditional administrative functions and helping out the admin department. So that, again, we're expecting to go forward in July. So next slide. This is just, again, a general recap of our recruitment. So for that previous fiscal year, we did fill a total of 4 vacancies. And of those 4 vacancies, all 4 were filled by external candidates as opposed to internal candidates. And the number of calendar days to fill those vacancies was 62 on average between those 4, which, again, I think is a really good number. Indicates that we're not, you know, sitting for too long on these vacancies, so that's good. Next slide we'll go to is, again, just very, very high level, some general retention information, just talking about some of the things the staff's done to help retain talent. Yeah, we did our class and compensation study, updates to our personnel manual, and then we cover kind of the generic benefits that we offer, health, employee assistance programs, types of leaves, things like that. So this is representative of, again, what we're doing to retain talent. And that's your 2561 presentation, if you have any questions.
I do.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is even allowed by a government agency, but can you use staffing agencies if you really need somebody and then, you know, trial them for 90 days and then hire them if they're,
yeah.
You know, have you utilized that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
That's been a longstanding practice of the town as far as I know. We actually currently have an employee right now that is a temp.
Oh, okay.
From a staffing agency on our finance team that's been phenomenal for us.
Great.
And we have filled other vacancies in the past by going that exact route. So
okay.
It's something we've taken advantage of.
So it's your choice that it's not a recruiting issue at
Correct.
This point? Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Right. Yeah, we have the option to either do direct recruitment, internal promotion, staffing agency, whatever fits the needs of the district at the time.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
And just on that, we typically, if it's a high-end position like general manager, assistant general manager, we will use an agency to look for that. Even if we have like internal candidates, they'll go out and post a position and bring
a recruiter.
A recruiter.
Not a staffing agency.
Yes. Not a staff. I mean, these positions we wouldn't put someone in part-time, but it would be a recruiter for those positions specifically in the government agency.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is there any other questions?
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to open it up to public comment.
No hands raised.
Anyone? Terry, nothing? Okay.
Thank you.
So we will bring it back to the committee. I think we don't really need to vote on it, but are you comfortable allowing that to go forward to the board to vote
Sure.
on?
Yeah, I mean, there's no action to really to take on it.
Okay.
Not here.
Not here.
But at the board, it'll be to accept it as a full board.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect. Let's go on and move to F2, discussion and possible feedback to amend policy 8 to remove regional committee assignments and associated stipends. Is that?
Yeah, and staff doesn't have
a report on that.
A report or presentation. These were items that were requested by the committee to be put on the agenda. So,
So this was something that we had talked about our last internal ops committee, and it was something that we had kind of discussed and then decided to table it. I would like to bring it back to the committee and discuss policy 8 right now. We have regional committee assignments, and those regional committee assignments currently get stipends, and they only have to do agenda items. And so in discussing it, you and I, and discussing with staff, like, how did you monitor, like, we had asked to have them come in and do a presentation, but how do we monitor that, and what does that look like? And so, before I came on the board, there was no assignments to regional committees. If you wanted to go, you could go, and there was no stipend for that. And I think, because many of us, like I said, even me coming here late today, because of work and you work, that it should just, like, we wanna be involved in regional events and regional committees, but I think it needs to be something that as board members we're doing it because that's kind of our interest in our community and helping that, and so we don't have assignments And because of that, then there's not stipends associated with that, and it kind of takes off that pressure of A, not paying for stuff that people are only submitting an agenda to, because a lot of times this stuff is online now, and you can pull the agendas, and previously before COVID, you're required to attend in person. So I would love your thoughts on it. Any questions? Support, not support? Any other offerings or ideas?
Oh, so it's me. Okay.
Yeah. You and I are discussing it.
Okay.
It's just us.
Well, okay. So I do have a couple of thoughts on this, and thank you, Ashley, for putting that on the agenda, because I think that it's a very valid thing to kind of take a new, fresh look at. I guess with anything, I'd like to see a financial analysis on how much it's costing, and perhaps staff can help us with that in terms of put something together, how much those, you know, how many assignments there actually are, what is it costing the town for, you know, for them to be all, if all of them are committed to in terms of attendance, what is the fiscal impact to the town? You know, if we continue with it or if we get rid of it, you know, how much money can we save? I don't think that there is a clear, at least my understanding of, maybe there is, of the assignment. I know it's done at an annual basis. Maybe it's based upon seniority. It seemed kind of like, I don't know, it was, I was not aware before that meeting actually happened what was going on in terms of how those were assigned. So I'd like to take a second look at what, if there is a clear assignment, if we do continue with the commitment for payment stipends, and if not, also were there backups? I think there was backup assignments for these. And so just kind of taking a fresh look at it and then putting a proposal. Once we have a financial analysis, we make a decision of what our recommendation is, Ashley. We have a little bit of meat with some data that we can present to the board and say, hey, you know, this is costing us quite a bit of money. We think that we can, maybe the board can be committed to taking care of this without impacting the town financially.
So I think it's hard. So I think that was like the struggle we had before doing the assignments. Like, we can't make someone from the board go do something if we're not paying them a stipend. And correct me if I'm wrong, when we decided to do the committee assignments, it was kind of based on seniority. So staff kind of said these are the most important committees that we think we would get the most information that would affect our community. So you have, you know, the school board, you have the water, you have fire, you have the P6, like how many committees, and off the top of my head, LAFCO, how many committees are
there's
we doing?
There's the Byron Airport.
Yeah.
Transportation. I think there's around six. I don't want
to. Okay. And some of them meet like twice a month. Some of them meet every quarter. And so we had listed them out, and it did. It started with seniority. So you went president, vice president, and then by who had been on the board and down. And the committees were listed, and you kind of got to choose based on what your interests were, right? And so that is how it initially was done. And the requirement was to bring an agenda. And hopefully, like, you would hope and think that if you're attending that meeting and it's pertinent to our town, which every one of those are, right? That you would come back with a report. But I think just in general, from watching it as a board member and being a board member over the last 6 years, initially when we decided to do that, kind of everybody was attending and being good stewards of going to those meetings. And I think you've kind of seen a drop either in the participation and not attending. So if they don't attend, obviously you don't get paid for it, or attending, submitting an agenda item, and then there's no report to it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to enforce someone to report back when our rules are only to submit agenda. And I think, like, how do you draw that line of reporting? You know, like, who's the person that is
the... I mean, I would suggest that that we change the requirements, that it's beyond just submitting an agenda, that the requirements are that they need to actually provide a short presentation or at least speak to what was at the...
How do we regulate that, though? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to regulate that?
Well, I think that they shouldn't get paid a stipend. I mean, hey, if I don't show up to one of these meetings, I don't get paid.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't follow through and with the commitment, then you know you don't deserve the stipend. I mean, I also think that if there is a meeting and you've made the commitment
to attend
that assignment, that you need to go to that meeting, and if you can't, then you need to let your backup. That's a commitment that you've made. The backup needs to be able to be notified that they need to go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I just think it's hard to manage.
Well, then you shouldn't sign up for it.
But agreed, but like we have said as a board, I think what this is trying to do is give the ability for anybody to go. You know what I mean? Like right now, if I haven't signed up for the school board, I mean, yeah, technically I can go to the school board meeting, but, or if, let's say, you sign up for the school board, but that was something that was really my interest, and then the backup is another board member and it's not me, then, I mean, I can go, but if someone's reporting it, like, I'm not going to get paid for it. So I think if you open it up, it allows for everyone to go, and I think if you, let's say, I'm going to just do my calculator math. So you said six committees, Dina?
About six.
And then how many of those committees meet monthly? Probably three? So you do 150 times three, so that's 450 a month, times 12. So that's $5,400 a month just in those three committees, or a year. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot.
And then it also, I mean, if we start asking staff to monitor it and be, because I don't think as a board we can do that. Like, I'm not going to monitor you, and you're not going to want to monitor me, because then it's going to create friction in our board and how we perform as a board, in my opinion.
No, I agree, but I think that the criteria needs to be identified how often that the meetings are held for these different assignments, right? And that if it's a monthly board meeting, then it needs to be at the first of each month from the previous month, that there needs to be a readout. That would be a listed item, just like fire. Like, right, it's a listed management report. Under reports, it would be listed. School board meeting.
Yeah, but currently it is listed. It's under director's reports.
Okay.
And it says, like, last meeting I said I wanted to report on the East Bay Water Municipality. My agenda wasn't in there because I didn't make it in time. But I presented a report on it. But there's many times that they just put the agenda on there and say there's nothing to report out. Look at the agenda, because the only requirement in this policy right now is to submit an agenda, and it lists the committees that we deemed reasonable to attend. And I think I guess the reason to ask this is I don't think you can have a middle ground, because I think if you have a middle ground and say we're going to do the committees and you have to report back, we're going to get a lot of pushback from some board members, and they're going to say, well, it just says, like, we've always done it this way, why are you changing it? And I'm not going to report back, I'm going to submit an agenda. I think if you say, we're going to open it up to whoever wants to go, and we're not going to do assignments, and there's no stipends, then it's kind of taking that fight of, well, it's always been submitting an agenda, and I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this, but I think you have to either do it or not do it. If you do an in-between, I think there's going to create some friction within the board members, especially the ones that have been here for a while. And because it's been done a certain way for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
Not an excuse, but that's my perspective on it. And so I think if we try to change the policy either needs to be one or the other. I don't think you can have a middle ground in it.
Okay. No, So I was just trying to understand.
That's why we're having this conversation.
What your position
was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't do a good job of explaining
it.
And I absolutely don't disagree with you. I think that perhaps we need to identify, though, I think there's different levels of importance in terms of the value that that assignment may have to the town. Being the school board, I think, is maybe much more valuable. Perhaps, I don't know, I'm just throwing out there, maybe land, the LAFCO, maybe
LAFCO,
be
fire. The East County Water Management.
But I think that we have established those. Those are the committees that are listed in the policies that we attend, are the ones that we felt would be, and we can review them. Maybe we go back and review what those committees are to have people on them. But I think the list of committees that we have opened up for people to attend to get a stipend for, at the time felt like those were the most important ones. I think maybe bring it back to what those committees are and we look at what those are and say, do we feel like these are the most important for us to continue doing it the way that we're doing it? Or do we think, because nobody's attending them and maybe not nobody's attending them, but we're not having people attend and report back, that we are all or nothing. So then it takes the stipend away from it. It allows you to go if you want to go and report back, and kind of takes that pressure off of wanting to be there if you need to be there, and vice versa.
Okay. I think there's a couple of issues here, and I don't want to confuse the issues. I think that there, number one, we need to evaluate if there would be a loss of impact to the town if we did away with, if there wasn't a reporting for that particular assignment, right? So if we, because if we just let it go to anyone who wanted to attend, then I think that there wouldn't be consistency in terms of somebody attending that meeting every time. And there may be some loss of value to the town if there wasn't a report back. I'm just throwing that out there. So I think that's the first thing that we need to identify. And it may be that we have already identified that those that we're paying stipends for are valuable and that we do really want to have somebody attend all of those meetings every time there is a meeting. And if that's the case, then there needs to be a commitment either that person who is assigned to that committee, they go on their own and they're paid, or they go and they are paid. I mean, we can decide whether or not at that level, but there is kind of a method that you kind of need to work through in order to identify what the end outcome or recommendation is. And I think the first thing we need to identify is whether or not the assignments that we have, the committees that we want people to attend, is there a loss to the town if they're not attended to? Right?
Okay.
Right? So, I don't know, perhaps we can, maybe you and I can go have coffee and write something up in terms of identifying how we think maybe staff can kind of identify and present this. I don't know what the process is.
So, well, the committees have been identified. So we would need to look at those committees and decide whether or not we need to add to those committees or take away from those committees. And then I think we need
some staff input with that, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did staff not originally look at those committees and those were the ones that were recommended, or?
I think back in the day, so those committees have always been there, as long as I've known.
So staff was the one that originally recommended those committees, however many years ago.
I don't think
the board said these are the committees we want to do. I think we can reevaluate them.
Those
maybe
are the ones in the region that would affect Discovery Bay in some aspect.
Yeah.
In some way, whether it's very small or quite large, those would be the committees that are in our region that we would attend. So.
Yeah,
okay.
And I think there is a benefit to your point of having staff's input on that before we got a recommendation to axe one or have those in. I think, you know, many of us have attended or participated in a lot of these agencies and informal roles and things like that. So there is some input we could provide there as far as relevance and importance, as far as, again, having assignments to those committees. I think that, yeah, staff can
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess my concern is like, how do you, we're on a board and yes, our commitment should be to do what we're supposed to do. If we take assignments to a committee and say, yes, I can commit to that, but how do you force someone to do it?
Well, I think we've all made a commitment to be on this board, and if you commit to an assignment, that's part of your duty that you've been elected to do. And if you can't do it, there's a backup. You have a duty to then contact your backup to attend that meeting. Because your meeting, it's part of your elected duty.
I don't disagree with you at all, but I don't know how you enforce it.
Well, then if they're not, if a director has made a commitment to attend that meeting and they're not, then after perhaps, you know, two meetings that they've missed, then they need to, that assignment needs to be reassigned.
But we don't even have that with our board meetings, right? Like, in our board meetings, and I'm just using this as an example, we have to have a quorum to vote in our board meetings. And these meetings are a little bit different. They're informational. We've been elected to give information about them, but we're not voting, we're not giving quorums. There's a couple of them that we are, like the East Bay Management one, we are, Water Management, maybe LAFCO, we're having some input, nothing. So only the East Bay Water Management is the only one that requires a board member to be it. But I guess my concern is like, we can't force people to go. Like if they can't make it and their backup can't make it, they're just not getting paid for it.
Well, yeah, I think that if they can't make it and their backup can't make it, then it's just, that's the unfortunate circumstances. But I think that we could write some policy about that they, you know, if they are absent a certain amount of times, then it needs to be reassigned to someone that can make it. I mean, it's a commitment that is being made by someone that has been, you know, by the director.
I mean, we can put it forward.
I think that it will be blatantly obvious to staff if there isn't a report, right? I mean, there doesn't need to be.
I don't think we can require staff to manage who's going and who's not going.
No. They wouldn't be managing it other than it would be, there wouldn't be anything in the record, right?
But who's going to be the one to recommend reassigning them? Who's going to manage that process? I can say for myself, like this last round, I picked committees that didn't meet every month because I don't have the time available to do that. I know that there's other committees, and this is in the past, where people had said, yes, I'm going to be a part of that committee and attend, and they had things come up that they couldn't attend. I don't know how you manage that and manage the meetings. Like, is staff's time valuable enough to manage those people and then manage the reassigning of them and like doing that every other month or every quarter? Like, I think that's gonna be super hard to manage. I think you can say these are the committees that we feel like you can attend and these are the most important ones, and we're gonna go through the committees every year and assign someone to be there and a backup to be there. And if you go, you get a stipend, you're putting it in. Like, we would love for you to give a report, but you submitting an agenda means that you've attended. Because who's going to be the one that manages the reports? And what are the requirements for writing those reports? And what needs to be incorporated in those reports? You know, right now the agenda, it's already set, you've already seen it. But are we gonna say, if you're reporting it and you can't present it, like, does it need to be one paragraph, two paragraphs? Like, what does that reporting structure look like?
Well,
for you?
I don't think there even needs to be a written reporting structure. I think there just needs to be some sort of verbal, oral presentation at the next relevant meeting, at the next scheduled board meeting, to communicate, to convey that information that was cover.
But what if the board member says the agenda, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, the agenda's enough and I don't want to give a report because the agenda lists everything on there. So if they don't give a verbal report, do they not get paid for that? Do they not get that stipend?
Well, that's a great point. I think that I would say that no, they don't, because there's obvious things that would have, there are additional things that would have come out other than just the topics that are listed on a piece of paper. There's going to be discussion and more detail that will have been given at the meeting. There needs to be a little bit more meat than, you know, presented other than just a list of the agenda items with checkbox next to them, which is what we've seen in the past. So I don't think that it's going to be a big job for staff to manage. And I could be wrong. I don't think there's really much management at all. I think that perhaps in the front end, we need to identify the most important meetings, what their schedules are, roughly, if they meet monthly, then it's expected that there should be a presentation at the next board meeting, at the maybe the first board meeting of the month, that there should be a short oral presentation of what to support the agenda that was submitted.
So here's a question for you. I've attended the meeting. I submitted my agenda to it. I'm sitting in the board and I said, the meeting was great. They discussed solar. Is that enough as a presentation? Does that mean I get my stipend?
I would say no, because that would be the topic.
Who's going to manage that? Who's going to manage, who's the person that says you get a stipend or don't get a stipend?
Well, I think we're getting
the weeds. We have to get into the weeds because we're talking about changing this policy, and we need to know who's going to manage it or not manage it. Because if I'm that person and I went to that meeting and it says I get a stipend for it and I need to give a verbal report, and I gave, to me, that's a verbal report. Who's going to be the one to tell me I don't get that $150? Because my time was spent at that meeting. I left work early. I didn't attend my kid's soccer game to go to this meeting. So I go to the meeting. Who's telling me I'm not getting that stipend?
Well, what would you suggest?
I gave you my suggestion. My suggestion would be you either don't pay a stipend at all and we don't assign committees, or you say that you've gone and you have an agenda that's been reported and you've maybe written notes on it. I don't think that you can force people to give a report. And if you do say that they have to give a report, it could be a sentence or not a sentence, or it could be a paragraph, but I don't think that you can, I don't think that you have someone that monitors that and says you've done it or not.
Okay.
Right? So like you have gone, let's say, school board meetings. School board meetings can last hours, right?
Sure.
So the agenda is, I don't know, let's say 15 items long. You've spent 4 hours there. Mm-hmm. But maybe only one of those items on that agenda were relevant to the town of Discovery Bay. So you've spent 4 hours at that board meeting. You've submitted your agenda. The only thing that was relevant in that board meeting to the town of Discovery Bay, and I'm going to say solar again because it's on the top of my mind, is all of the schools are putting solar together. You spent 4 or 5 hours of your time. And then let's say Stephen is the one that's been put in charge to determine whether or not you get that stipend. And legitimately, only the solar is the only thing that is pertinent to the town of Discovery Bay. And so you say the schools are, all three of them or four of them are going to be putting up solar, and we will be seeing that in the next 2 weeks.
Well, I think.
And Stephen says that's not enough. So 5 hours or 4 hours of your time was spent, and you don't get paid for that.
Well, I think we're all adults, and I think that we're...
But we're not. I'm serious. Like, we're not.
Okay. I think that there can be some language, maybe with the help of the town attorney, to come up with something that can be... That will suffice in terms of putting some criteria around what is sufficient, a definition of what is sufficient. And I think that, you know, we're adults here. It can, you know, if it's not sufficient, I think that we will all know and say an agenda with check marks next to it is not sufficient. But giving out a full-blown readout of a 4-hour school board meeting is also on the opposite extreme. So the things that were relevant to the town, a couple sentences, something that provides value. And I think that's
you're an attorney. What would be your recommended verbiage to make this something that would be right in the middle of submitting an agenda and providing a 10-minute report? Like, what would your recommendation be?
Well, I would have to noodle with the language a little bit. I can't give you anything specific right at the moment.
But give me an idea.
Well,
I'm having a hard time understanding, and I've been on the board for 6 years, and I can tell you, based on the numerous people that have been on the board throughout the years, it would have to be very specific, and there's going to be ones that are going to argue until they die that it's not going to work.
Well, I would defer to staff to help draft some language that is vague, but is descriptive enough that we'll be able to provide a framework that all of the directors have a common understanding of what the expectations are. If there is a stipend paid for these meetings, these assignments, and if it's not sufficient, then there's perhaps some coaching and intervention that is done to the director. That
who does that though? Who's the one that does it?
I would think that maybe it was the general manager, right?
How would you feel about that?
It's legal counsel.
Oh, legal counsel. Okay.
Counsel.
Okay, that's fine.
And I think that would be maybe something that we continue to do on a quarterly basis, or even at our board workshop that we do.
Yeah.
And then he gives that.
How much does our legal counsel cost us approximately per hour?
Per hour, he's about $300 an hour.
I don't think this is a big deal. I don't think that this is a big ask to have a board member that's getting paid to go to a meeting to just give a couple sentence readout at the next board meeting what happened and provide the town with the value of the stipend that they're being paid to go to that meeting.
I don't disagree with you on that point. I just think you're going to have a really hard time monitoring it, and I feel like staff's time is important, and we have a lot of stuff going on, and that is not something that staff should be
so
patrolling. I mean, I can tell you right now from being a president, if I would have had to be the person to tell someone that had just submitted an agenda that they're not going to get paid, it would have made me quit the board. I wouldn't have done it.
Well, I think that you approach it from the perspective of, hey, you're getting paid to go to this meeting. We need more of a readout the next time that you go to the meeting. And if we don't get any readout, then you're
not getting paid.
Then you need to have the person that is your backup go, if you're, you know, because there needs to be some value. I just feel that if the town of Discovery Bay is paying these people to go, then there needs to be some value. They just can't go to meetings and get paid, and the town gets no benefit from that.
And I'd say staff can work with legal counsel. We can put together some language that tries to outline those parameters. But yeah, I would say that, you know, there needs to be some objective measure of what a good report is versus a not good report. So
yeah,
it isn't subjective and kind of changing benchmark. But
yeah,
I think that if the direction is to work on some language to try to preserve the committee assignments and stipends, but improve the report outcomes.
I have concern about what kind of dynamic that puts on the board and how we have to work together. And I also have concern about the dynamic it's going to put from a staff perspective of how they're going to have to manage that, or even a legal perspective. I mean, we're five people on a board and we have to work together. And I think it's hard to be the person that says, I'm taking that money away from you, even though you went to that meeting. because you didn't give a good report. I don't disagree with you in the response that your responsibility, you've been elected, like you should be at everything. You should be at every board meeting, you should be at every committee meeting you've been assigned to, you should be at every meeting that's a committee meeting outside that's a regional committee meeting. That's what you were elected for, whether you're paid or not, you know?
Well, actually, I'm sorry. I think there's a little bit of a nuance that you're missing here, and I think it's an important fact, an important aspect of this. I'm not saying to be the committee monitoring police of anyone. I'm not asking them to be that. I'm asking that we establish some standards that we operate by, and that if the standards aren't being met, that there's either they need to be someone else going to that meeting so that those standards can be met, or that, you know,
you don't get paid if you went and
you don't
you're not
in the future, not
but
taking.
Who monitors that? Who monitors that?
Well, I think
you're gonna make Kelly monitor that?
No, I think that not Kelly. I think we just talked about that it would be a standard that the legal professional would, you know, address in the future. But like
legal is there to help with certain stuff, but even so, let me give you an example. Like, we're supposed to pay attention during our meetings and not be on our phones and not do stuff like that. Legal is supposed to help us monitor that. But is their job to, like...
Actually, you're their boss, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
...feeling. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we start... Let's start with the financial audit.
Yes.
Well, and I think the committee...
Just, you guys review that, see if it's even something...
Yeah, and also I think that we need to identify, I mean, this is totally a moot point if the town doesn't feel there's any value in people
so
reporting out, right?
I'm not trying to be mean, but I know that you're new and you're looking at stuff from fresh eyes, which I am very glad for, but I wish you would go in and look at some of our policies and look at some of our committees and look at how we've done some stuff, because a lot of this work has already been done. And I'm not saying that it's not bad to go back and relook at it and redo it, but to say that we haven't done that, I mean, some of it has been done. So I think maybe the first thing we do is do the fiscal analysis of it and come up to us with what committees have already been determined and go from there. Terry, public comment, if you could come to the...
This is getting kind of goofy here. You know, I mean, why don't the board members, why don't you guys get together, lay out some ground rules, say, okay, we're gonna do a committee, who wants to do this, blah, 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 blah. If you go to it, you get paid. If you come in and you make a report, like you were saying, it doesn't have to be 2 hours, it doesn't have to be 15 seconds. Your guys' job is to be transparent to the residents by going to a meeting and not coming back in here and giving a report for one or two people who decide they want to show up to see what happened. You guys aren't transparent to the residents.
I don't disagree with you, Gary.
Bottom line, to say that, you know, if you don't give a 15-minute thing, you won't get paid. If you give a 20-minute thing, you will get paid. That shouldn't have anything to do with it. If you go to a meeting, you guys on the board, you five or whoever it is, get together, have your own little meeting, and say, okay, we have these committees that we need to go to. Who wants to go to these committees? And these are the ground rules.
That's what we're trying to decide right now, because
well,
this is part of our
seem
policies.
Like you guys are, I mean, I'm about getting ready to leave because this is just child's play right now.
I understand,
I mean,
but this
may,
is a...
It makes no stinking sense how you guys can argue over something that if you are assigned to go to a meeting, you go to a meeting, you come back, you give your report at the board meeting. Case closed.
But
transparency to the residents.
I understand.
That's part of your job.
Understood, but if we aren't assigned to those meetings and we go and we don't get paid, I mean, we're supposed to be transparent, but...
You need to come back and
okay.
Tell the people on me, whoever else shows up here, plus the board people. It's like with the sheriff report. He gets up every month and gives his report. You go to a meeting, you get up, you give a short disarray of what the meeting was about. It had nothing to do with Discovery Bay. I went to the meeting, they discussed this, that, and the other thing, and then you're done. And then you get paid. If you don't follow through with everything that you're assigned to, don't get paid. I mean, that's kind of it in a nutshell. Because, I mean, if you go to work, you're going to do your job, and your boss says, you're not doing your job, I'm not going to pay you. What leg do you have to stand on? Nothing. You didn't do your job. If you're assigned a committee to go to, go to the meeting, come back, give up whatever it takes to get your point over, and then you get paid. I mean, that's my take on it. I mean, I don't know. This is getting kind of, I don't know.
Thank you. So, we'll bring this back. Can we agree that staff, can you bring us the current committees that we have, any additional committees that you think would be important, and a fiscal analysis of cost if everybody attends the meetings based on what they are, and any staff time or legal time that comes with that?
Yeah, staff can put that together right back to
you. Okay. Are you okay with that, Leslie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Let's move on to F3, discussion and possible feedback to amend the Board of Directors bylaws to alter Board of Directors meeting frequency. Do you want, this is brought on to talk about potentially not having a meeting every month, if there's having a meeting on the first of the month, and if there's everything that's loaded with that, if there's nothing to put on the second meeting, that meeting is just initially considered canceled unless we have items put on there. The purpose of this is to save some money, essentially, fiscally be smart with our money and not put together a meeting because we already have one that's on the calendar. I would love to hear your comments on it.
Okay, well, I completely agree with this. I think that this is being fiscally responsible, and again, I would like to see a fiscal report, you know, what the fiscal impact is that we could present to the full board and the public to show the trade-off of if there is a board meeting that we can skip. And so, I mean, there has been several board meetings when we come in and there's just one report and it's very quick and it just seems like it's needless. So I fully support this agenda item.
Okay.
So staff will bring back a proposal with that fiscal impact. I do know that there has been some discussion at the staff level about particularly certain months out of the year and ensuring that we maintain the two meetings, for example, the month of June. Both of those agendas are jam-packed, right? Ending of the fiscal
budget,
year, we've
yeah.
got a ton of stuff on there. So for example, that would be something that we would specifically want to see in the bylaws if possible to carve out June, we will always have those two meetings. And there's a couple other instances like that. So if that's the direction, staff will bring that back with that caveat of those months that we would recommend ensuring we keep the two meetings for
okay.
for the
boards. Perfect. So will that come back to us or will that go straight to the board?
Everything will come back to this committee first. We'll discuss
Excellent.
Again and then that'll go to the full board.
Perfect. Is there any public comment on this?
No answers.
Terry, do you have any public comment on it?
No, thank you.
Okay, let's move to the next one. Discussion and possible feedback on the process of establishing term limits for elected directors. Currently, there's no term limits. Looking at if that's something we could do, if it needs to go to a special election.
That is something I do believe the board directors looked at this item beginning back in December of 2021 and then early in 2022. And so there was some information that our legal counsel did at the time that we could absolutely have a look at again. But yeah, there would need to be a vote and a resolution of the board of directors to formally recommend that item go on the ballot. There's the process of working with the county elections division to put that on the ballot and all the costs associated with putting something on an election. But yeah, would need to go proposal would be crafted by this committee and by the full board as far as how many terms, when that would take effect, et cetera.
Is that something that we could do during election year? Can we get the cost of it, establishing that during an election year versus a non-election year?
Yeah, that's something the staff could put together.
Okay.
We have to reach out to the county and get those costs and timeline associated with getting it on different cycles and whatnot. But that's information staff can put together to show you what that cost would look like.
Okay, that would be great if you could help us do that. Do you have any comment on that, Leslie?
No, I don't. I think that's an interesting thing to look into.
Okay.
And so just to be clear for staff direction, we would just be bringing back the potential cost associated with
Correct.
Doing it, not a proposal around the item itself, just a cost, and then we would
and
further discuss.
And what the timing would be on something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually perhaps maybe pros and cons for staff. I don't know for in terms of what the pros and cons would be for term limits. I don't know if that was looked into last time. I wasn't here in 21 and 22,
sure.
So I don't know what was explored.
Yeah, I don't know that there was necessarily a pros and cons list. I think we could take that back and staff can mull that over. I do believe that, you know, primarily that's a decision of the board to govern the conduct of the board itself, so I don't know that staff wouldn't necessarily have a position or a recommendation on that. But if there is anything, we could bring that back with the other items.
Okay, great.
Any public comment on that? Okay. Are there any future discussion agenda items?
No,
okay. Perfect. We are gonna close the meeting at 5:03.